that I think have served me in that I love everything that I've done. I love every career iteration that I've pursued and every person that I've met along the way, either as a client or in networking or in connecting or in any capacity. I'm grateful for all of the roads I've taken.
Welcome to the Self Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you, who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Get ready to be captivated by the unexpected journey of today's guest, Jay Herman, a non-traditional entrepreneur who stumbled upon success by following her passions. In our conversation, Jay unveils her strategy for acquiring clients and networking with business owners, all while sidestepping the social media frenzy. This conversation challenges the norm and emphasizes the crucial role of human connection in the world of entrepreneurship, making it a must-listen for anyone looking to carve their own unconventional path to success. If you are curious about what can happen when you follow your passion, then this episode is for you. Jay, thank you so much for taking the time to being on the Self Starter Podcast.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. I'm glad to be here.
Of course. Today, you are the founder of Brown Boss Media, but your journey didn't start here. You are, from what I've seen, a serial entrepreneur. And with that, you've been able to help your clients create marketing material for over 20 years. So how did you decide to really become an entrepreneur?
Oh my gosh, I don't think I decided to. It's literally something I fell into way back in 2002 when I was a bored housewife and looking for something to do with my time. I taught myself how to make jewelry. And my husband at the time said, you should probably start charging people because women spend money on shoes. I was spending money on like beads and, supplies. Fast forward a little bit from that, I realized that jewelry design is a very environmentally unfriendly practice. So as I was teaching myself to become more environmentally friendly, I started writing about it. I had early aspirations of being a writer, but didn't really pursue it throughout my young adulthood. And so I started writing about my journey. I had other friends that said, oh, that's really interesting. I want to share something too. And before I knew it, I was like, okay, well, if I want to put this all together, how do I do that? What's this thing? A blog? What the heck is that? So I researched that. Social media was coming onto the scene, and literally that blog turned into a magazine. And from that magazine, someone approached me to do some video work. I don't know why. And I launched a media production company based on that referral. And from having a media production company, I sort of niched into marketing because marketing is storytelling. And niching down even further, I realized that I was helping people with their written content because most often we write the way that we speak, which isn't necessarily wrong, but that doesn't always make it grammatically friendly. And I love going through and polishing and rearranging and finding the puzzle pieces and how they fit together. And so this is where I ended up.
Holy smokes. That is an incredible story. You didn't even set out to become an entrepreneur. It started from boredom. It started from a creative outlet for you to be able to express yourself and your husband saying, you know what, you should probably monetize that. And from there, it just continued to build and build and build upon itself. I mean, the timing of this, it sounds really pivotal because like you said, social media was just beginning and it was a really great time to be able to start something, but it was also kind of unknown and a little bit of a risk. When you're researching this blog, like why did you decide that the blog was kind of the creative outlet that you really wanted to begin with talking about the bead making?
Well, I knew, like I said, I had early aspirations of wanting to be a writer. So being around words and working with other writers to help them polish what they were writing just felt really natural to me. So I guess that's where I naturally gravitated to that. And that was the only thing besides writing a book, which I didn't want to do and knew nothing about. And I liked the idea of it being digital. So we weren't wasting paper by publishing a print magazine. So it was just a combination of, this is what I'm good at, this is what I like to do, I can get other people quicker, you know, more quickly involved in the process and be environmentally friendly at the same time.
Yeah. It sounds like you had a really great understanding of your strengths going into all of this. So while it does sound like you kind of fell into some of these, it also was a little bit strategic. Is that a safe thing to also say?
Yes, I suppose, in that I'm not very impulsive. I will research something into the ground. I'm very OCD. I get very hyper-focused, and I like to be aware of contingencies and just different ways of doing things. And so I will go at something from all angles and work from, this is the information I have right now, as opposed to, I don't know it all, I can't move forward. You know, the idea of failing forward has always been something I've sort of embraced, which one of my piece of my joy line was wabi-sabi. And the concept of wabi-sabi is, there is beauty in imperfection. And so that idea of, you can put it out there and maybe it's wrong, maybe there's a better way, but at the moment that you do release something, you're working with what you have. And so I've sort of always been somewhat comfortable with that, even though it's scary and it's unnerving and it can make you anxious. I've just really operated from that place.
I really like that. I've never heard that term before, wabi-sabi. There is beauty in imperfection. And I think that's a really important reminder for everyone listening that it doesn't have to be perfect. And in fact, it's actually better when it's not. That's when it's more authentic and it's more real and relatable. And just because you start out one way, clearly, doesn't mean that it has to look that way 20 years later. I mean, you started out making jewelry. You were buying a bunch of beads instead of clothing for yourself. And now you have this thriving business called Brown Boss Media, where you are helping people with their marketing strategy and their content. So it's clear that you don't have to have it all figured out. And sometimes it is better to start a little bit messy, spill those beads everywhere, you know?
That is very true. I mean, if you want to go back even farther, my degree is in criminal justice. I was in the military. I served as an MP in the U.S. Army. So to say that how we plan that your life is going to go exactly according to plan is not the case at all. And it's just, it's really being comfortable with the uncertainty of where the journey may go. And this is not to say don't plan and don't have goals and don't have aspirations, but don't be so anxious about keeping yourself in this box or trying to fit into this idea of what you should do, those shoulds that, you know, tend to keep us in a state of uncertainty and feeling the imposter syndrome, I think we talked about before. Free yourself of that and just be, go where your heart is led. You know, I think have served me in that I love everything that I've done. I love every career iteration that I've pursued and every person that I've met along the way, either as a client or in networking or in connecting or in any capacity. I'm grateful for all of the roads I've taken.
And I'm a firm believer that all of the roads lead you to where ultimately you are today. Every experience builds upon each other, and what you've gained, while it might sound a little bit random to what you're doing today, but life in the military, it really gave you a skill set that now I'm assuming that you still utilize today. The blogging, it's something that you use today. You talked about creating digital content, having a media company. Every little road leads you to where you are today. And I don't think that there's a wrong path that you can take personally.
Exactly. I agree. And in fact, I was having a conversation with my women's group. I do a co-writing, co-journaling group monthly. And a question was put to the group, if there was one thing that you could share with your younger self, what would you share? And I took that from a place of, is there a regret or is there something I would do differently? And quite honestly, I would not want to have a conversation with my younger self, because if I changed anything about her trajectory, I wouldn't be to where I am now. So I think there's something to be said for, sure, there are some things I wish I knew that I had considered, but I don't necessarily feel like there's anything I should have done differently.
No regrets. That's the best way to live. And I know you talked about how it's led you to where you are now. So let's really dive into the present day, like with Brown Boss Media. What is Brown Boss Media today?
So Brown Boss Media essentially is a digital marketing firm, a boutique firm, and I work with women-led entrepreneurs, women-led organizations, mission-focused organizations, and nonprofits, helping them with marketing strategy first and foremost, but also content creation. So making sure that my clients don't get overwhelmed with, oh my God, there's so much, what do I do? Making sure that we have a plan, we follow the plan strategically in execution. But then another component of Brown Boss Media is boss copy editing, where we focus strictly on the copy and making sure that it's engaging and, you know, grammar friendly and error free in the marketing campaigns that we do.
And I know you talked a lot about how that side of the business really brings you a lot of joy. You really get a lot of joy out of being able to grammatically go in there and make it look prettier, essentially. So you obviously were kind of an expert and a natural born copy editor there, but where did the marketing strategy side of the business come into play?
Well, early on, you know, when I said going from jewelry design into having a digital publication, I had to get the word out. I had to get readers. We had sponsors. We had advertisers. Well, how do you do that? Sharing our story for why we were doing it and why it was important and why other people should be more environmentally friendly too. That's sharing our story, but in a strategic way. And so that made sense to me that marketing is strategic storytelling and being, I guess, understanding the nuances of what that means logistically. How do you execute that? But then really the bones of what does that mean and how does that work? That's what I've been perfecting from that time. So over 20 years, God, I feel old, of perfecting what that means for individuals, for companies, for teams, and especially for women-owned businesses. What's your origin story? How you should be connected to that every single day. It's just like any relationship, being married, having a boyfriend, girlfriend. You make that commitment to that person every single day that you wake up. It's not a one and done, like, okay, we're together, oh, we're married, it's over. You know, every single difficulty or every single challenge, you literally say it's worth it. And this is why. At least I would think that's what you should do. And that's a lot of what strategic storytelling is. It's being very close and connected to your story, why it's important, why it should be important to others, and what they can gain from it.
And what's interesting, I know you had mentioned you've been doing this for 20 years at this point. Storytelling has always been a really critical part of being able to excel and get your business, the word of your business out there. But I'm sure the way that you've been able to market this has changed over the years as social media has continued to develop. So how has that impacted your strategy? Because you have been very strategic with this from when you first started to really what you're doing in your business today.
My biggest asset has been word of mouth and networking, connecting with folks and sharing, engaging, being supportive, sharing valuable content, whether it's monetized or not. That is so important to me. You know, at a point where we sort of pivoted away from being social media heavy because of the ethics of these platforms, still word of mouth was strong. And utilizing business networking, which is what LinkedIn is, it's not social media marketing as the other platforms are, utilizing that. And then I tell all of my clients, your blog is your media platform. You own it. It's not subject to algorithms. It's not subject to anyone else besides you. So being very good about the cadence of releasing content through your own medium and being a good person. People can't help but share, like, you know, make recommendations. Hey, I just talked to this person and she or he does whatever, and I think you could benefit or something along those lines. So for me, if social media went away tomorrow, I don't feel like I would lose anything because I've kept the same type of system of sharing and engaging and supporting and using my blog.
I'm really glad that you brought that up because that's actually how the two of us met. We were on a week-long mastermind together, and I was seeing that you were commenting and helping out throughout the entire chat, and I had to reach out to you. I just felt pulled. I said, this girl is awesome. She knows what she's talking about. She's adding value to someone else's mastermind, and she's not getting anything out of it. And those are the kind of people that I personally want to surround myself with. It's the people that are continuing to put things out there when they're not expecting anything in return. And after you and I connected, I reached out to you. I just continued to see your efforts exponentially grow. So you invited me into another community. So you're truly practicing what you're preaching. You're highlighting and you're shouting out other female business owners. You're active on LinkedIn. And you're doing all of this with, again, not expecting anything returned, because I believe that you and I share the same value. What comes around goes around. And I really admire that about you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm glad that we connected. I don't have children. And, you know, I feel like what I do is my legacy. You know, it stays at the forefront of my mind, especially being in midlife. If I'm at the midpoint of my life, how do I want people to remember me? You know, what's the mark that I want to leave? I don't know. And the one thing I would want folks to say is that she was kind. You know, not that, oh, wow, she made gobs of money and maybe people didn't like her. You know, I want people to feel that I was kind and then I helped them in some way. And the way that my brain is, I'm constantly learning and doing and trying to make my business better, trying to do better for my clients. And that's knowledge. Why not pass that on? It's not like I'm doing or saying anything that doesn't already exist out there, but how we perceive and receive things and share through our lens, of course, is what makes us unique. So the way that I explain something or the way that I understand something, hopefully adds a little bit something different than how someone else would explain it or share it. And so why wouldn't I share that?
We need more people like you, Jay.
Thank you.
Now, because you are so kind and you're just so authentic in all of your messaging, is it a safe assumption that a lot of the business is kind of just you attract the business to you rather than having to go out and find it? Or really, what is your process for acquiring these new clients?
Wow. Yes. I don't do any paid advertising. I rarely do social media these days. It's really my list, connecting with the folks that sign up to get information from me, sharing on my blog, and networking. Those are the top ways that I bring business in or that business finds me. Sometimes it's a wing and a prayer, you know, that it's like, oh man, I really used a third client this week or something along those lines. But more often than not, it's in a networking thing or more often than not, it's usually that.
And you also mentioned your list. What do you mean by that?
So your list is life, right? When you have a newsletter or, as I like to say, a life letter, because I'm sharing my life, I'm sharing the lives of my client, I'm sharing the lifeblood of a service or a course. Doing that on a consistent basis, you build trust with people who want to hear from you. No one can control that, right? Again, it's not subject to algorithms. It's not subject to a third party outside of if you're using, you know, an email marketing platform. But outside of that, you have control of that content. So why wouldn't you use it to your advantage?
Yeah, and that's something that I'm actively working on, is building out my list, because to your point, you own your list. Social media could be gone tomorrow and you could lose all of your connections and you would have to rebuild, but you own the list. That's where you can really build that know, like, and trust factor, where you can show up as Jay and people want to hear what you have to say, and they look forward to what you have to say. So what does your strategy look like for really nurturing these relationships on your list? Because I think that's a really big way that people convert into paying clients.
It's interesting. I just had this conversation with a young female entrepreneur earlier, because she just launched her business in March. And she's like, you know, I know that I'm supposed to have a lead magnet. I know I'm supposed to have a freebie, but tell me more. Why should I do that? And I'm like, you know, it's not that you necessarily should or that you must have it. It helps to have something that you want to give away as a freebie, a lead gen. But if you're in the habit of consistently sharing valuable content anyway, you're building that trust, you're building that brand awareness. So when you do ask for, hey, would you like to receive more from me, some exclusive bits or something that you won't find on these other channels, more often than not, they're willing to give you their email address. So I would say focus on sharing content on your platforms, whether it's social, or social is a good place to start to get people into your funnel. And then once you do, it's consistently sharing. Outside of that, put your link everywhere. Like it should be in your email signature. It should be every networking event that you go to should talk and share that you have, again, whether it's a lead gen freebie or something or another, everyone you talk to, everyone you come in contact with, put it out there, have other people share it too, is a good way to help, you know, build up your list.
That's a really good point there. You mentioned have other people share it for you. So what kind of collaborations, if anything, have you done as a way to be able to help expand your list?
Well, you have this interview series, and you know, I recommend that if you have peers that you look up to, people that you want to do business with, have a phone conversation, call it an interview, you know, and before you know it, you'll have a series of influential people that you've connected with, and they will likely enjoy that experience and share it with others. And then there's that ripple effect. I have a series called Women in Words, Women Who Work in Content Creation. I love interviewing, you know, women that are in the field and that they can connect and share with each other. That's a way for me to network as well. So I hope that helps.
Absolutely. It goes back to kind of that word of mouth that you were talking about previously. It's just people love what you're doing and they can't help but share it.
Yes. And being active, like I'm on the board of nonprofits and I love giving of my time and being a help to organizations that are near and dear to me. And in that sense, I'm also networking, even though it's outside of work. It's something I'm being paid for, but it's a source of networking as well.
And speaking of networking, I know that you had mentioned this a couple of times. Now that we're bringing this to light, you are a huge networker. Again, that's how you and I met, and you are an ambassador for Like-Minded Collective. So I'll have to share your link because if people want to join, this is a free program to be able to get into at first, but then obviously there are paid versions if you want even more from the community. But Jay is super active and just such a valuable resource within this. So how did you find out about all of these different communities and really which ones you wanted to join? Because I think that as entrepreneurs, we have so many choices. So how do you really narrow down what makes sense for you and your future?
I was very intentional this year. January was pivotal for me because I rebranded my business. I went from J. Herman and Company, which was my name as my business, to Brown Boss Media. And I did that after a divorce. I wanted to get away from using my married name. But I also determined that I wanted to network with strong, amazing women. So I made a list, like I Googled and I made a list of every platform that I could find that was away from Facebook groups or Twitter and Instagram. I wanted to find groups that were either independent or on other apps like, you know, Mighty Networks and Circle and, you know, some of these other ones that were coming up. I stumbled upon Like-Minded and realized early on that it was completely independent. Like Imbal has done an amazing job of building this community from the ground up and is still building. She's still adding different resources within the community. And I reached out to her. I reached out to her on LinkedIn. I was like, hey, girl, what's up? How you doing? This is awesome. And I could see in just a few, I want to say just a few days of being on the platform, how engaging the women were and that they were having actual conversations. And it wasn't strictly just a self-promotion site, which was also very important to me. And then I thought, I can do more. More women need to know about this. More women should be involved. So how can I do this? And, you know, going through like the affiliate program that Imbal had at the time, I was like, we want to make that. And of course, I'm so thankful that she listens and even cares about my opinion, but reaching out to her and saying, we can do more. We can help women understand that they are representing each other by being on the platform and recommending it to others. And so maybe we might want to consider changing that to like brand ambassador. And initially she was like, no, I'm gonna think about that. And it took a minute for that to come back around. But I think it's important that when you're representing an organization that you feel really wholeheartedly connected to it, and it's not, you know, just for talk or for show. And that's what like-minded community is for me. And that I have other communities that I check in on occasion. But like mine is the only one that I'm in there every day. And I'm making sure that I'm looking at comments and responding and leaving something that's valuable and not just promotional. It's the only one so far that I found of its kind.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, you're the one that introduced me to a like-minded collective, and I'm so glad that you did. And you truly are operating by a give to get mentality. I had asked you how you found success with the platform, and you had told me that you have it actually scheduled every single morning in your calendar to be able to go in the platform and kind of see what updates are in there, engage with people, help people. And then you also do it before you take off for the night. So you're giving, and then you're also receiving from this amazing community as well. And like you said, Imbal's done a wonderful job building this, and she ain't stopping yet. That's for sure. Nope. This is just taken off at this point. Now, I do want to go back to Brown Boss Media, because there are so many different ways that people can work with you. So if someone wanted to be able to work with you, what really can they expect?
So with Brown Boss Media, ideally, when folks find me, they either don't have a marketing plan in place, or they have a marketing plan and they're not really sure why it's not working. And so I like to do an audit to see exactly where they are and to determine where they want to go. So when you work with me from that perspective, I'm going to look at all of your platforms, your website, your social media, your blog, your newsletter, if you have one, and give some feedback on where the things that I see as a consumer, but then also as a marketing specialist. And then from there, we want to look at what are the campaigns to help drive the goals and the milestones for a company, for a service, for a course, whatever, you know, the client needs. And then I can look at, okay, now is that strategic? Because we go from the marketing to content writing, and that's how strategically does the content work together to be strategic in how we connect with our readers and our audience, our clients and our customers.
And so how would someone know that they're ready to hire someone like yourself for some of these services?
The moment you have a question, if you, am I ready? You're ready.
So would you recommend this for people that are just getting started in their business? Or would you recommend this for people that have already, I mean, I know you mentioned you're doing an audit. So people that have kind of already have things figured out a little bit, but need a little bit of tweaking and a little bit of additional support.
I would say anywhere from startup to midsize.
Okay.
So not in the inception consumption phase. I'm not in the business of helping people get their business off the ground. But once you're out there and you have, you know, the necessities of a marketing platform, then yes, have someone come in at that stage to make sure that you're going in the right direction. And if you already have it in place, to make sure that you can stay going in the right direction with a really good, effective marketing plan.
That's good to know. And for people that are listening to this, is there a specific niche that you specialize in working with?
I would say niche-wise, I tend to stay very heavy towards health and wellness, women empowerment, anything along those lines, education. Believe it or not, I do some sci-fi because I'm a sci-fi geek person. But more often than not, I tend to stay in the health and wellness stage.
Wonderful. Now that's super helpful. And it also is a little bit fun to be able to specialize in something that you are also really passionate about. I think part of entrepreneurship is being able to wake up every single day and be excited about what you're doing and the work that you're surrounding yourself with. You clearly have a passion for health and wellness. So it sounds like a really good fit.
Thank you.
I think it's worked out okay for you.
A little bit.
Now, I know earlier on today, you had said that you were posed a question, like if you were to give your past self some advice, like what would you give her? And you actually wouldn't change a thing. And I think that's absolutely beautiful. But for advice for someone that is not yourself and that is really just looking to take the first step in their entrepreneurial journey, what kind of advice would you give this person?
This is the second time I'm being asked this today. So there's a reason for that. I love it. Go where your heart is led. You know, we're in the gig economy where it seems like everyone is starting a business and that can feel overwhelming. And so the idea of, well, I should do what's going to make me money isn't the right, you know, statement. That shouldn't be the focus, because the money is there. The money will come. Doing something that you love every day won't feel like work. But like you said, you want to wake up excited every day and feel passionate and feel compelled to work, right? Doing something that you feel like you're only doing it because it's going to bring you income won't last. That's my advice, is go deep and find your zone of genius and what you enjoy doing. And then the rest falls into place. The rest becomes logistics. We can't teach passion. We can't teach something that you're naturally drawn to do. The logistics of how to accomplish what you want to do is something totally different.
I think that's great advice and something that I have recently gone through myself. Originally, when I set out to start my own business, I was thinking in terms of what's going to generate income for myself. But what I had to realize is that I need to start where my passion lies and the money will come. I have to practice an abundance mindset rather than being in a state of lack, because if you're in a state of lack, then you're probably never going to get out of there.
It's true. I mean, you also consider the universe gives you what you focus on. You manifest what you keep at the forefront of your mind.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I feel like that is a perfect way to end this episode. You manifest what is on the forefront of your mind. So Jay, thank you so much for this wonderful conversation. If people are absolutely inspired by what you have had to say today, need a little bit of copywriting and marketing strategy help, where could they go and find out more about what you're doing and potentially work with you?
Two places, brownbossmedia.com and bosscopyediting.com are the two places to find me.
Wonderful. And also just a little shout out again to Like Minded Collective. If you are an aspiring or current entrepreneur, I will also include Jay's link to join that community in the show notes as well, where she is super active and you'll be able to get connected to her in a group setting there as well. So Jay, thank you so much for this wonderful conversation. It has truly been my pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. I love talking to you.
Jay is where she is today because she followed her passions, she wasn't afraid to continue to take different roads and niche down, and she is a stellar networker. In lieu of social media, Jay has doubled down on organic growth through networking, proving that social media is not always necessary. Her advice? Find communities that resonate with you and your company, pop into them every day, and share valuable free content. So let me ask you, self-starter, are you ready to start following your passion? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.